Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And we're brought to you today by ZipRecruiter. Listeners to Three Martini Lunch can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free right now. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Jim, happy Comey Day.
Oh, let me tell you, we said during this week it was going to be huge. The countdown clocks on the networks, the live coverage of him as he departed from his house and went all the way to Capitol Hill in a slow-moving white Bronco that had police cruisers ahead and in behind. Making up that last detail there. But, man, it was short of everything. It had everything short of a singing of the national anthem by a celebrity and a flyover of the Jets. I believe it was literally the Super Bowl. Someone at CNN called it the Super Bowl. And I don't know about you, Greg. I'm finding it to be kind of, when it comes to predictability and everybody kind of playing their roles and an outcome that doesn't seem to be all that in doubt. Isn't the more accurate comparison the NBA Finals?
Well, we're going to get into that in just a second. I find a couple things fascinating before we even get into the martinis here, Jim. First of all, how so many people, especially Democrats, are just fawning over Jim Comey when if he had testified, a month ago, it would have been a slightly different situation considering how they blame him for Hillary losing the election. Hillary certainly has done so. And how every Democrat question is about Trump. And a couple of Republicans have actually asked about Russia as part of this. So that's kind of interesting since that's supposedly what the investigation is about. So let's get into that. Let's go to the good martini. And the good martini is effectively courtesy of the written opening statement that never actually got read today by Comey. He probably figured that the cable networks and the websites had digested it enough. And he's probably right about that. But we read a report, Jim, and I read it right here on this podcast just a day or two ago from ABC News, that while Jim Comey was not expected to accuse Trump of obstruction of justice, he was in fact going to push back against Trump's assertion in the statement that accompanied Comey's firing that Comey had told him three times that he was not under investigation. Well, lo and behold, in the opening statement, three times, Jim Comey says that he assured the president he was not under investigation. Here's one of them. During our one-on-one meeting at Trump Tower, based on President-elect Trump's reaction to the briefing and without him directly asking the question, I offered that assurance. Let's move ahead to March 30th for another example. I explained that we had briefed the leadership of Congress on exactly which individuals we were investigating and that we had told those congressional leaders that we were not personally investigating President Trump. And just a little while ago, as we record this at the hearing, Senator Blunt specifically asked Comey whether he had told him on three separate occasions that he was not personally being investigated. Comey said, yes, that's true. I did tell him that on three separate occasions. So ABC clearly had it wrong. Trump has never been under investigation personally, and the FBI director confirmed it multiple times.
He denied it three times, and I believe that a cock crowed in keeping with prophecies. No, there are a couple of big headlines that come out of it. Some good for the administration, some bad. Probably the couple of the most important ones are not surprising, but once again, good to get it from the horse's mouth. No, Comey has seen no evidence of hacking or successful alteration of vote totals or anything like that. All the election is stolen talk should be dismissed as nonsense, as most people do. Probably the most significant one is he said at no point did President Trump or anyone else in the administration tell him to shut down the investigation into the Russian attempts to influence or meddle in the election. Probably to me, the one that Republicans are going to emphasize the most and one that I think really does warrant the excitement or emphasis by Republicans. Under questioning from Senator James Risch of Idaho, a Republican, Comey said that it was accurate to say that while he was director, Trump was not under investigation. This is, kind of what we saw here, but it's very comprehensive. Now we have it, this is one of the sound bites that probably should be going out there. So the idea that this is, all leading towards Trump impeachment or something, this throws some cold water on it. Having said that, there are a significant number of unflattering portrayals of the president and other cases where the president just seems to have no idea of the kind of distance that's supposed to exist between a president and the FBI. There's a lot of dissecting the Trump statement about the Flynn investigation that he hopes you can clear him and that this turns out well. Is this kind of just wishing or is this an implied threat, an implied instruction? A lot of gray area there from, you know, some imprecise wording on the president's part. But so far, you know, it's kind of what most of us who are in that Trump skeptic but non-Luis Mensch frothing at the mouth category, this sense of being unimpressed with the president's behavior in all this, but not seeing anything that represents criminal behavior or grounds for impeachment.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the less flattering moments. Now, a couple of them were in the written testimony. One you mentioned, and that is one that's been out there for a long time now, Trump telling Comey that he hoped he's a good guy. I hope you can let this go. And Comey saying that he agreed that he's a good guy because he had dealt with him before, but not saying whether he would let it go. It was in late January at the White House in a one-on-one dinner where he reports, quote, a few moments later, the president said, "I need loyalty. I expect loyalty. I didn't move, speak, or change my facial expression in any way during the awkward silence that followed. We simply looked at each other in silence." And Jim, I can actually picture that at the White House, quite frankly. Comey did offer an opening statement that was much shorter than his written one. And this is probably the lengthy excerpt from that that most people are going to seize on today. And this refers to the shifting Trump explanations for why Comey was fired a few weeks ago.
"So it confused me when I saw on television the president saying that he actually fired me because of the Russia investigation, and learned again from the media that he was telling privately other parties that my firing had relieved great pressure on the Russia investigation. I was also confused by the initial explanation that was offered publicly that I was fired because of the decisions I had made during the election year. That didn't make sense to me for a whole bunch of reasons, including the time and all the water that had gone under the bridge since those hard decisions that had to be made. That didn't make any sense to me. And although the law required no reason at all to fire an FBI director, the administration then chose to defame me and, more importantly, the FBI by saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led, that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader. Those were lies, plain and simple."
So, Jim, there you go. I think there are some people who might dispute whether some had lost confidence in Comey following the way he handled the Hillary investigation. But pretty direct there, calling the president a liar on multiple occasions. And the fact of the matter is the story did shift. The explanation from Rosenstein, who headed up the explanation for the firing of Comey, had it all in the Hillary investigation. And lo and behold, Trump, in an interview with NBC a couple days later, admitted, yeah, this was about Russia.
That statement in the interview with Lester Holt did not serve the president's own interests very well at all. And you know, you're seeing some folks like Speaker Paul Ryan say, well, the FBI director needs to be independent, and Trump just isn't familiar with this kind of protocol. He's just new to this. Well, look, you know, at some point, you'd like to think somebody can pull the president aside and say, you know, you really can't do this. You really... as it was interesting in Comey's written statement, he said that he spoke to Obama twice in his previous time as in the previous administration. And one of them was basically the farewell party, that usually the president and the FBI director do not talk on a regular basis, certainly not about matters that relate to investigations of figures who are connected to the president, like the Flynn investigation. And, you know, Comey also brought up this point of like when they had these conversations in the Oval Office, Trump asked Vice President Mike Pence and Attorney General Jeff Sessions to step out of the room. That looks bad. That really does look like Trump knows that he's about to ask for something that is, if not illegal, that it is, if not improper pressure on the investigation. It really is getting into a gray area. And that if he'd let Pence or Sessions stay in the room, either one of those two men might have said, you know, Mr. President, we really shouldn't be having this conversation, or you really can't be asking him about that. This all has to be held at arm's length. Once again, is this something you can impeach a president over? Probably not, but it's just not the way the president is supposed to act regarding law enforcement, particularly law enforcement that's investigating something related to his campaign. And what's really kind of intriguing about all this is how much this appears to be I'm not going to say much ado about nothing. We've got very different Shakespearean references this week, with particularly references to who will rid me of this meddlesome priest. The better was to say that this was almost a self-fulfilling prophecy on Trump's part, that as far as we know, and as Comey has said, at no point was the investigation in the Russia stuff ever pointing to the president. I think Lindsey Graham put it very well a couple of days ago. It's very hard to believe that Trump colluded with the Russians when we see day after day he's incapable of colluding with his own staff at the White House. The idea that, you know, so on the one hand, you know, dig into Russia stuff. You're probably not going to find a path leading back to the president. Flynn or Carter Page or Stone, maybe, who knows? We'll see how this shakes out. But the idea that at some point you're going to find Trump and Putin in some phone call saying, and then we will help you win the election and you will remove the sanctions, that's just not going to shake out that way. Or there's very little evidence to suggest it shakes out that way. At least as of May 9th or the day that Comey got fired, he didn't see anything that was pointing to the president doing something wrong in this area. And then the president fired it, and now you've got this argument of whether that might constitute a form of obstruction of justice. So, you know, a lot of self-inflicted wounds here. We also should point out one other, you know, I don't know if this doesn't really qualify as our crazy martini, Greg. It's the martini we didn't drink. At least as of this point when you and I are talking, no Trump tweets yet.
Yeah, true.
I wonder if he forgot his login password.
Who knows? Have you noticed the Democrats have now shifted away from obstruction of justice in the last 24 hours since they knew Comey wasn't going to suggest it, and now the term abuse of power is being thrown out there?
Yeah, let's throw in one other bonus here. It's not the focus of the hearing. It's intriguing that apparently Loretta Lynch, the previous attorney general, reached out to Comey and said that, that she did not want him to refer to it as an investigation of Hillary Clinton's private server and classified information about that. And he said, well, why would I do that? She said to him, just call it a matter. Now, you know, while we're on the topic of politicizing law enforcement, that's nothing to sneeze at, in the sense that, you know, this is one of the reasons that Comey went out and gave that infamous July 5th press conference, is his sense that he couldn't really trust Loretta Lynch to be handling this impartially and fairly. If she's not willing to describe it accurately to the public and is asking other people not to just don't call the investigation an investigation, that really undermines public faith in law enforcement. So, look, I think, you know, Lynch is off in retirement enjoying the life of, you know, speaking gigs and things like that. But at some point, maybe it'd be worth looking back at that and saying, hey, wait a minute. You know, if we're going to what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Maybe there has been some excessive politicization of the Department of Justice that started well before the Trump administration was sworn into office.
Good luck, Christopher Wray. This is quite a mess you're heading into on the executive side, both judicially and from the White House. So good luck. Seriously. All right. Let's talk about ZipRecruiter here. There's a lot of people who are now out of a job. Maybe Jim Comey's looking for another job. Christopher Wray looks like he's on his way in at the FBI. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Because with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anybody else.
That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, more than 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in less than one day, just 24 hours. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. You can simply screen, rate, and manage your candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners to 3 Martini Lunch, they can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. We'll give it to you one more time here. Go try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. And Jim, obviously there are serious issues being discussed at the Senate Intelligence Committee today with James Comey. And this much anticipated testimony, if you're really into it, you're going to see Mark Warner respond to every Comey answer with, wow, that's really significant. And everybody else trying to make their question seem like the wisest query since Solomon. But there are some other issues today that need our cynical take. And it's basically the hype for this hearing. We talked about it yesterday a little bit. Jim, I hope you finished shopping for your Comey list. Happy Comey Day. But the way that the self-important Washington people are taking this is just in some ways driving us crazy and in some ways very, very amusing. Apparently, the first people got in line for the Comey hearing at 4:15 today. Jim, the only time I'm up at 4:15, there's two different things. Okay, maybe three. If you got a sick kid, you got to catch an early flight. And I did get in line at that hour when President Reagan was lying in state at Capitol Hill. But that's far more important than Jim Comey. Secondly, when it comes to the self-important nature of people who live in Washington, Sally Quinn, if anybody personifies Beltway culture, it's Sally Quinn to the New York Times. Brian Stelter of CNN tweeting this. Sally Quinn to New York Times. They really should declare a national holiday since no work is going to get done. Maybe not in political Washington, but I'm pretty sure the rest of the country is going to operate as normal today. And, of course, we talked about the countdown clocks on cable news. Washington Times pointing out, Jim, that the cable networks couldn't even agree on where they were in the countdown clock because CNN was had their countdown clock ticking down to when their hour-long preview show started before the hearing started, whereas Fox News was counting down at 10 o'clock when the chairman was about to make his opening statement. So even when something's going to start is now a matter of debate in Washington. We talked a little bit about the hype yesterday. What do you make about it boiling over today?
Well, look, let's point out, when they set their countdown clock to the pregame show, they don't want you to miss Terry and Howie and their takes and their predictions. Frank Caliendo does these hilarious impressions, and everybody makes their picks. They break down the X's and O's of the testimony, and it's great. Also, that's when the really good commercials are in there. So, Sally Quinn, I think that says a great deal about her state of the world. I guess probably when we finish taping here, Greg, I should just drive around because finally there would not be bad traffic in D.C. because no one's working. Nobody's actually doing anything. Everybody's just sitting watching their watching it. I did want to ask the people who lined up at 4:15 a.m. They do know that the hearing's televised, right? This is not the only way you can witness this. You can just stay at home and watch it. And, you know, if people argue about whether they prefer to watch the game in person or watch it on TV. Look, they will have Comey's testimony with all the instant replay, the slow-mo, all the good stuff that you like to really, because you don't want to miss any details. The last thing, I don't know if you saw these reports, Greg, that apparently bars were opening early.
Yes.
And everybody was planning to go to the bar, and they were having special themed cocktails and things like that. Now, on the one hand, you could say, oh my goodness, this show is about how the entire country, or at least all of Washington, is enraptured and excited about this. Or, Greg, it could be everybody wants an excuse for day drinking. Which, by the way, one more little complicated wrinkle in all this. The hearing began at 10 o'clock, and for a lot of establishments in Washington, D.C., their liquor license only allows them to start selling booze at 10:30. So for a half hour, they just had to sit and, you know, drink coffee or something like that.
It's a lot of appetizers you got to wait for, yeah. So here's the question. Do you think Code Pink slipped in just in case there happens to be a Guantanamo question somewhere along the way?
Very good point. You know, actually, since I've been watching, we haven't seen a heckler. Well, here's the other thing. The other rumor is that a good portion of FBI employees wanted to go see, may have been invited as guests and are sitting there in the crowd. So if you're Code Pink, you rip off your shirt and you start screaming – there's an excellent chance the guy sitting next to you in a suit and tie is actually an FBI agent who will just, you know, toss you out of there.
Oh, that makes it even better if you got there at 4:15 and then you actually don't get a seat because all of the FBI people that Comey invited took all the chairs.
There you go.
Fun times. Get a life, DC. It's interesting. It's important. But come on. More important things out there. Jim, have a great day. Actually, we'll talk to you on Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Don't forget to visit our friends at ZipRecruiter. And right now, listeners to Three Martini Lunch can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Jim is out tomorrow, but still tune in Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.